All right, welcome back. We're with Tara Walker. We're going to look a little bit at Xamarin and Xamarin Forms. Please tune in, send your questions in. We want to answer them. And we'll turn the time over to you, Tara.
Thanks so much. Well, hi, guys. I'm really excited to talk about Xamarin Forms today. So this will be our journey into Xamarin Forms. We're going to hope that the demo gods are favorable for us today, as I'm going to show you some of the new features of Xamarin that is currently running with 1.4. So let's get started. I didn't introduce myself, but let me do that really quickly. So I'm Tara Walker. I am a technical evangelist. I am currently with Amazon. Prior to that, I was with Microsoft, so I'm familiar with you guys. And today, we're going to just talk about some exciting things around Xamarin. So, if you see my beautiful screen right now, these are one of the things that you guys heard about this morning, and this is totally phenomenal. There is exciting news from Xamarin about Xamarin Forms' Windows Preview, and so I've been really excited to hear that that's coming. So now there truly is Xamarin everywhere, so all your mobile devices as well as your Windows RT and Windows 8 tablets. Another really cool announcement that was this morning was again about Xamarin Everywhere, where you have now Apple Watch, Android Wear, and of course the Microsoft Band that is also supporting multiple platforms. So the world is your oyster when it comes to wearables, and Xamarin is the development house to do that with as well. And finally, something that is really exciting for open source developers, Xamarin announced subscriptions. They were on a roll this morning, so this is really exciting that I get to recap some of these exciting things coming from Xamarin for the developer community. All right, so let's get into my talk. So we're talking about Xamarin Forms, and I wanted to make sure that we go over what's the difference between Xamarin Forms and your standard Xamarin architecture. So for you experts out there, this will be a little bit of a remix or a renewal of probably already familiar with this. I am going to develop things in the native UI that of the platform that I'm targeting. So if I'm targeting iOS or targeting Android or targeting Windows, I'm going to use the UI, the nomenclature that's familiar with that platform. And then my shared app logic then therefore can be done with Xamarin in C Sharp using, you know, great MVVM, MVVM Cross, you know, the wonderful things that you can do there. However, with the entry of Xamarin Forms, with again, if this is your first time jumping into Xamarin, this is an exciting time because not only can I share my app logic, which we could do before, but now I can share my UI logic, which means I could write one UI that gets rendered appropriately for the platform that I desire. And that's across iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and now again, Windows RT. So if I was going to build a native experience with shared code, enter Xamarin Forms, and this is just a single API that allows you to generate that. So you see my little bit of code snippet there. What actually happens underneath the covers, and Xamarin has been very clever with this, is each Xamarin Form page and its controls are actually mapped to platform-specific native UI elements. They are, again, brilliant at thinking of this. And so you don't have to worry about, oh, okay, I have a stack layout over here, I have a stack panel over here. I can literally create a content page or a navigation page and then have that render appropriately to the platform. And so that's a single API to do that. And it is generating native, and I want to make sure I stress that, native platform-specific user interfaces, which is something that most people are most concerned about. Will it look natural on the platform I'm targeting? So let's talk about when you would use Xamarin Forms and when you would not use Xamarin Forms. So obviously, if you're just learning, you know, platform specifics and you're a .NET developer, you're a WPF developer, you starting with Xamarin Forms will be a piece of cake for you. This is going to be a natural transition into writing cross-platform applications. So obviously, if you are coming from that world, this is a great entry point for you. What about prototyping? If I want to quickly see what my UI is looking like, I'm building something very complex, I need to get some immediate results about what this application is going to do, how it would look, and the changes I need to make, then Xamarin Forms is a great use case for it. But that's a great use case for Xamarin Forms there as well. If you have applications that are much more data and task driven than they are from a UI perspective, Xamarin Forms is your technology for that. So you'll see here it's recommended for things like list or item selections. If you're updating the back end, much more so than you're doing a UI back end, you're updating the back end, you just need immediate responses. The UI can be consistent, but yet again, targeted toward the platform. This is a great use case for Xamarin Forms. So let's talk about something most people may not talk about. When is it not? The new Android material design or iOS transitions, then you might want to opt for a standard Xamarin architecture versus a Xamarin Forms architecture. If you have some very intensive, keyword being intensive, because we have some great things that allow you to do platform-specific capabilities with Xamarin Forms as well, but if you're doing really intensive platform-specific things, like a fingerprint scanner, you may want to opt for the standard architecture with Xamarin versus Xamarin Forms. And obviously anything that's very UI intensive, complex gestures, the UI is really important about how the user interacts with it specifically on a platform, then Xamarin Forms may not be the best option. You may want to opt for a standard Xamarin architecture where you actually build your UI that is platform specific. All right, so I'm going to take a breather here because I've been talking to you guys. Hey over there, anyone have any questions before I go on to all the new and great stuff that is coming out with Xamarin Forms 1.3 and 1.4? Any questions you see over there so far?
Yeah, so here's a couple of them. So you mentioned that Xamarin Forms is really good for prototyping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that once you've done the prototype, you should go into the native silos or can you leave it there? Is it getting faster? What are your thoughts?
Great question. It really depends on what we just talked about before. So if you built a great prototype and you don't have any of the caveats that I just mentioned, you're already off to the races. You're already ready to go. There's no reason then to opt for a platform-specific experience. And with Xamarin Forms evolving so fast and rapidly, and I don't think you have to unless you had those specific cases that I noted before.
Cool.
So I'll go back to that slide just in case someone needs to see it. Again, these are the only use cases that I can see that you would really opt for this. And again, this is something that you'll see if you go to the Xamarin site. They have great documentation on things like this, the where you may not want to use it. But again, it's coming so fast, so furious, so wonderfully that even these caveats may go away in the future. Who knows?
Cool. And then the other question is, if you do use Xamarin Forms, but then you realize, okay, this works great in the Windows Phone and the Android scenario, it doesn't work so well in the iPhone scenario, can you still use Windows Form, but then do something custom on the iPhone, sort of drop down? Is that possible?
Absolutely. Oh. We'll show you that. Yes. So Xamarin Forms has this wonderful feature called On Platform. I love it. So if you have those nuances where it looks so wonderful on Android, but it's not looking so beautifully on iOS, and I need to adjust things like the padding between the list views or the way things are rendering, On Platform is your die. But then there's also custom renderers. And again, that's another great thing they've added with Xamarin Forms, where I specifically can create a renderer that will render a specific UI for each platform, but then gets called from Xamarin Forms. So Xamarin Forms says, hey, I'm implementing this renderer, this custom renderer that I've created, and it will render differently on the different
Hold
caveats.
On. Can you repeat that last little minute or so? We kind of cut out there for a second. You talked about
how you
can use a custom renderer, and then you went on from there.
Okay, so I talked about if you have some very specific views that you want to render for the very specific platforms,
okay.
You can create a custom renderer. And the documentation on at Xamarin.com is wonderful for this if you're a newbie on this. But if I want to have something look very different between the two, I can create a custom render. Let's say I want my list view to have a green background on one and a blue on the other. I don't know why I would do that. I'm creative. Maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to do that, I can create a custom renderer and make sure that render is on each of the platforms and have Xamarin Forms be the conduit to run that renderer. And Xamarin Forms is intelligent to know, say, hey, I'm on iOS, I'm running the renderer that's specific for iOS.
That's cool.
And again, yeah, it's really a cool thing. And so my caveats of when to use, like I said, are quickly fading really fast.
We have another question out in the wild from Ed. He asked, does Xamarin Forms let you make Mac, not just iOS applications?
Great question. So right now, Xamarin Forms is being supported for, this is the, I'm going to pay Switzerland and do the appropriate things. Mm-hmm. iOS, Windows Phone, and that's 8.0, and iOS. And Android.
Okay.
The WinRT preview is out, but right now, I have not seen anything that has an official stamp that Xamarin Forms for Mac is appropriate. Now, you do have the iPad, right? You still can do things with Xamarin Forms with that, but I haven't seen it as yet.
Okay. All right. Well, those are all the questions.
All right. Well, we're cooking with gas. We'll continue on. If you have other questions, you had the right guys earlier, so make sure you're tweeting them and said, hey, I need X, Y, and Z. Okay, they're going to kill me for putting them on the spot. But but yeah, so if you have other questions, please feel free to tweet away. So let's talk about what is in Xamarin Forms. So Xamarin Forms, what's new in 1.3, and I'll talk about something that just came out last week with Xamarin Forms in a sec. But let's talk about 1.3 really quickly. So in 1.3, we got a lot added to Xamarin Forms. You got a new app class. I'm going to go over some of these in details, but just giving you the summary. We had some additional things for the font properties, styles, huge. I'll talk about that. Triggers. There is behaviors, and there was a navigation stack. A lot of bug fixes, a lot of enhancements. 1.3 was a huge release for Xamarin Forms. Again, I know those caveats are slowly but surely leaking away. So let's talk about some of those things in 1.3. So styles. Styles is huge. And the old way was you had to add things to a resource dictionary, and right, then you had to reference it with static resource. And I mean, that was okay, but it wasn't really per se an experience that possibly you wanted. You can always do that. But now you can literally group things into a style. And
hold on 1 second. Your voice cut out for just 1 second.
And they would create these wonderful styles, and they wanted to use will be very familiar with. And so Xamarin Forms introduced in 1.3 the ability to create your own style and, again, group things, style attributes, into a specific style. And this is pretty phenomenal. So now I can say I want my button to look this kind of way. I can create this style and reuse it over and over again. So really nice addition. Really want it.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's very cool. Saves you a lot of time. Another thing that people who are familiar with XAML will also be familiar with here is dynamic resource. So you want a dynamic resource to behave much more like binding, right? And you want it to also support, you know, we have the great unified API came out from Xamarin to support the 64-bit. So we have dynamic type size rendering on Apple and other things. Now you have a dynamic resource that you can actually leverage that to do the dynamic rendering. So really, really nice enhancement. In addition to this, you can literally add triggers and behaviors to these styles. A huge, huge thing for us. And so that's my segue into triggers. So triggers, if you're not familiar, allows you to set visual elements to react to events, a conditional style, if you will. So I'm typing something in, I get to a point where it should be numeric, and then I type in an A, hey, that's not numeric. Immediately, you can have a trigger that says, hey, turn this to red. Or I want, once someone clicks on this, for it to zoom to that or focus to that and scale. I can also do that. You can see some of the code snippets there. These can be added in C Sharp. And there are various types. So there's the regular trigger, there's an event trigger data, and there's one for multiple types of triggers. Very powerful.
The cool thing here is it looks like you can put it either in the XAML or in the code, just like you would in any other WPF or any other XAML app.
And that's what's phenomenal about this. Yes, it can be also added in C Sharp. So thank you for calling that out if it wasn't clear. Absolutely. So if I want to just live in the code and put these things in the code, I absolutely can do that. So really great addition. Again, this is in XAML, Xamarin Forms, 1.3. So let's talk about, just going to break down really quickly one of them. So you have the event trigger. So the event trigger, instead of having a typical property, will literally have an event. And so you can write this trigger action of what you want to do in C Sharp. Again, making sure that you have the appropriate namespace. So you see the big arrows there. Make sure you are using the appropriate local namespace there. Otherwise, you're not going to have this work as you desire. And now I can say, when I enter this double value and the text has changed, then trigger for it to be validated, that it actually is a double and is appropriate. So again, great there as well. So data triggers, similar thing, but instead of having a property, it has a binding. So again, I can say I want to bind this to a specific reference. So I can actually change something that when it saves, it takes that the length of the text, and actually binds that to my button as a trigger. So again, you have some really phenomenal things you can do with triggers, various things. I'm just doing one. All right, so done with triggers, off to the navigation stack. Now for anyone who has had to track the navigation flow of a mobile app knows that this is one of the most painful things that you can do to make sure you get it right. But what is great about this is Xamarin, knowing that, wants to, as Miguel likes to say, delight developers, and they has created a navigation stack where you can actually edit the stack beyond just the pushing and popping off the top. You can decide to remove a page. You can insert a page before another one. You can literally have animation being disabled. So literally, I don't have just the ability to say, hey, it flowed from 1 to 5. I can say, hey, stick page 3 in between, in front of page 1 because of whatever reason. And so now the control that you have with this is definitely a delight for developers. All right, so that was just some of the key things that was in 1.3. Well, lo and behold, again, Xamarin, working so diligently over there, has released 1.4, and this was just released on last week with some very significant enhancements itself. Wow. So you have scroll view enhancements, list view, and this one is my favorite. I'm actually going to show this in the demo, some of the list view enhancements, like pull to refresh. We know that is a typical UI interface now, where you literally drag down to refresh your screen. And instead of having to write that to be a custom renderer, even though Windows Phone, it's kind of custom still there, but instead of having to write that to be custom, you actually have now an API that is literally a flag that says, hey, enable pull to refresh. You can add headers and footers to your list view, which is really nice, versus you trying to create these different templates to do it. You literally just have a property there. And you can actually have a separator enhancement that says, hey, I want this to be this color and things of that nature. In the form side, they have really done some great enhancements on the application lifecycle events. So if you want to really customize your on start, those things are now available to you out the box as lifestyle event handlers that they've added to the forms.application. Okay. You have modal push, pop, and cancel, which is pretty phenomenal. Also, something that people have been asking for quite some time. I'm going to skip this one and I'll go back. But the JavaScript on Windows 8, again, that's something that has been definitely asked for for quite some time, and now that is now available for you. Now, back to the one that I've heard a lot about. You now have a web view that supports OpenGL. So very nice enhancements from 1.4 coming out. Of course, there were several bug fixes that were there. But again, we're going to definitely show you some of the list view enhancements, which are extremely powerful, especially the pull to refresh. Let's go to a demo. And while I'm setting up for this demo, do you have any questions?
Yes, there's a question out in the wild that says, what version of Visual Studio is Xamarin and Xamarin Forms compatible with?
Great question. Okay, so I am currently running, and I'll go through all them, but I'm currently running Visual Studio 2013 Update 3, and I have been running Xamarin Forms since its inception. So that's that one. Obviously, 2015 supports it. There is some support. It's somewhat limited for some of the things in 2010. So you won't. There's not a lot of things there, but there is some support for 2010. You'll see it when you start install. So those are kind of out in the wild what you have, and that's pretty much covers the gamut. Were they looking for something more specific?
No, I don't think so. The other question that I have is, to set up Visual Studio and Xamarin, if you want to do iOS stuff, there's like, you have to do something special. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I can tell you about that. So if I want to set up if I'm in Visual Studio, I'm running on a PC, which I'm actually doing, and I want to make sure that I am building for iOS and doing the right thing. You need to have an iOS, a Mac device that is running your Xamarin build server. Very simplistic. Xamarin made it very easy to set it up. You install the Xamarin tools on that Mac device. Again, you run the build server. It connects over the network as that build server is actually broadcasting out. You connect to it. It likes it, and then you can build and literally run simulators and other things on that device.
Okay.
So I'm going to be on a PC right now, and so when I'm building, I just connect to my Mac to have my code from iOS actually build from there.
Cool.
All right, so let's get to the demo. Visual Studio, yay. All right, so let me close down some of these things, and I'll blow the code up. And let's walk through what this is.
Okay.
All right, so I have three projects here. The project that I started, so if I would go to File Start here, you have some options for Xamarin projects. You have Xamarin Forms. I'm just going to do it so you can see it, but I won't change my code here. I have the ability to select, again, under mobile applications. I can do Xamarin Forms Portable, so a PCL using Xamarin Forms. I can do Xamarin Forms with a shared project. And then I can do, obviously, build a class, a portable PCL class library that's targeted for Xamarin Forms. So what you're going to see here today is I actually selected the Xamarin Forms Portable. And I will show you some different things that are available to you in Xamarin in this demo. Okay, so I'm going to cancel out of that. All right, so this demo or this project, what we're doing here, is it's life in pictures. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to find a bunch of pictures. And so what is going to be featured here, what's great is the pull to refresh, some of the grouping. I'm obviously going to use MVVM, so let's kind of walk through that. So if you start out with your PCL, you'll see here I have some of the basic things you'll see. I have my views, and I'm going to walk through that because some of my views are actually XAML views, and some of my views are code views. So again, there's the now XAML versus code debate going on. I actually wanted to show in this demo that I literally have both. So you'll see my model here. I have event picture, event picture group, and GPS location. So GPS location is something I want to enhance this demo with, where I really can show the great dependency service and how, even though there's various differences of how GPS renders on the various devices, that I can literally have this service in my PCL and have the devices render appropriately. Again, with the dependency service that Xamarin Forms provides you with. So that's an enhancement I want to make sure I put in this demo, and this will be out on GitHub. But again, I have two things. I have my event picture, very simple data class, nothing really special about it. It's going to have a group key, the name of the picture, description, the actual image, and again, as I enhance this, having a GPS location of actually where the picture was taken so that we can actually bring that map up in the picture or with the picture as supplemental data. So for my picture group, again, nothing very special here. You will see that I'm just using this really much more for the fact that my pictures, if I was in Bordeaux, France, which is where one of the pictures are from, I wanted to have a group that all of the pictures that is from that event would be captured here. So you see a group here where picture items is just another collection, observable collection of the various images, the various pictures. I have a key because I'm going to do some grouping. I have the title description. Again, this is just all about all of the pictures that are with this life and event, which is why this is called Life and Pictures. And again, this kind of data placeholder, as I enhance this to use the dependency service, is I've created a class for GPS location that will store latitude and longitude. And then when we get data back from the various services, we'll display the friendly address or display info. Okay, so that's my model. I'm going to show you a helper for sorting really quickly. And I cannot take credit for this. This is the brilliance of James at Xamarin, that I thought this was such a unique thing. He created a grouping helper, and that grouping helper actually does some of the sorting and grouping for you for any type of generic type. And I thought that was so phenomenal. So I am leveraging that in here as I group and sort when I'm showing you the grouping. The service. So my service currently is hard-coded data just of my pictures. So you will see that I have a service that actually is hard coding this, but you absolutely, and this is one of the new features I'm going to do, pull data from various data services. So whether it be data from the cloud or whether it's data from an API that's your favorite one to tie to your pictures, this is another enhancement. So you'll see here that I have an interface for location service. Again, that's going to be used for so you see that I have base view model. You guys are all familiar with that, even though it doesn't like my line endings from Git. But again, you'll see I have a base view model. Nothing special here. You're very familiar with the iProperty notified change and the power that provides you with. So I have a base class that my view models will inherit from. That is that base view model class. Now the heavy lifting is being done in my event picture view model. And again, we're going to show you that new feature, pull to refresh. So you'll see here, I have an observable collection. One is just all groups. One is the sorted data, because again, I want to show you how the grouping works with the list view enhancements. I also have a command here so that I'm going to leverage for the pull to refresh. So I have that. And that's where most, again, my heavy lifting will come from, is here in my view model. You'll see that I have, again, this is the implementation of isBusy. I'll explain all that when I get to pull the refresh. And then here's my view model just filling that data as it initializes in my constructor. All right. And finally, we have our views. And again, remember, I'm using Xamarin Forms. So the great thing about this is these views are shared across all three platforms that you see here. And so my first view is my event main page. And what you'll see is my event main page is a XAML page. However, my event detail page is not. It is a pure code visual page. So I actually coded this. I did not use XAML. But you will find in my demo that my XAML page is actually going to call my detail page, which is written in code. And I just wanted to do that because I know people have a lot of debates on to XAML or not to XAML is the question. Here I wanted to show, hey, you can do both. So that's it for that. So Now that I've gone through that, how does this all start up? So let's start with the main baby you'll get here is the app.cs file. And by default, when you start up a new Xamarin Forms application, now selected PCL, it will give you this default page. You'll see it says main page, it's new content page, and just in the middle, it'll just say welcome to Xamarin Forms. So that is your first one. What I wanted then, therefore, to do is for obviously it to start on all the platforms with my custom page. And this is my XAML page that it's starting with. And so I decided that I wanted this to be a navigation page. So I took my main page, which is my XAML page, and the only thing I had to change to create this main page to render on all the devices was this one line. Main page equals new navigation page, again, giving me some of the navigation features, and my page, my new XAML page that I've created. That's all that's done there. And I'm off to the races. So let's start to run this. Well, wait, before I do, let me just show you. That's my app.cs. And you're wondering, if you're new to Xamarin Forms, well, that's great. How is it rendering then on Droid, iOS, Windows Phone? That is a great question. So let's look at that. In my main activity, CS, and obviously I'm on Droid. The application, passing the context in, because again, that's what Android likes. And so there is initialize function that Xamarin will actually pass in. Xamarin Forms will init for the Droid device. You'll see this is very similar on what's also happening on the iOS side. So if I go on the iOS side, you'll see the same thing. In my app delegate, you'll see that it's calling the Xamarin Forms init, and it's launching a new app. Again, this would be something you would do if you were writing standard, and Xamarin is doing it for you. So this is how it is able to start up on each of the platforms as appropriate.
So it looks like each platform is calling the app class in your portable class library.
So yeah, each one, correct. So each one of them, in it will initialize the Xamarin Forms API, and then it will call that app.cs to determine what will it render. And again, that's where Xamarin goes and does the heavy lifting of mapping what you do in that PCL as far as the UI to the appropriate controls in the various platforms.
Okay.
That was clear as mud?
Okay. Yep, that's perfect.
All right, so let's run one of these. So I'm going to start out. I do have my, let's do a check. You know, Android sometimes does not play nice with me, but yes, my iEmulator is up. So I'm going to run the Windows phone one first, just so we could show the differences. So I'm going to set that as my startup. You will notice what's really, again, great about some of the enhancements, that the minute I set that up as my startup, it went and said, okay, I know the emulator you need. It's not that Google one, that Nexus one. It is actually the Windows one. So I am going to go ahead and run this. So while that emulator is coming up, are there any other questions out there in the wild while we're waiting? This emulator is really
absolutely. Mateus says, is there a way to use view model with an observable list that is bound to a list control that allows editing? So imagine a scenario where you have a test class that has a property of ID and label, and then it has a value, and then that stuff is being pushed onto a list. Is there a way to edit values inside of a list, or is it just a control thing that you can't do?
So let me make sure I am answering the question he wants answered. So you want to have a list, and one of the template has a text button that you're entering in, which obviously is you're able to do, mm-hmm. Or he's saying if the data changes, dynamically update. Both are possible.
Okay.
So did he just want to know it's possible, or wanted me to go into detail? So
maybe go into like maybe 30 seconds on each of those two scenarios and how they would work.
Okay, great. Really easy. So I showed you, and obviously I'm using MVVM, and I showed you the power of the iProperty Notify change, right? That can be set either in XAML or otherwise to be either a one-way data transfer back and forth, talking back and forth, or two-way, which means I update from the UI, it triggers that, hey, an update needs to happen on my back end. So again, your view model says, hey, something happened. To your back end, you want that to update without obviously you going through a lot of things to do so. You want that to update so you can actually have your binding done such that that updates in that way. When data comes in, I notify property change, slowing down, can notify then that, hey, I'm bound, I have new data, show that. And then when I do the pull to refresh, you'll see that. Now, another way, though, to do that is specifically if I have a template for my item template. And let's say one of the items in the item template is a text box where our entry, which using XAML forms, it would be called an entry control, that I want to type some data in. And once that data is typed in, I want it to be a two-way binding where that data now that I've saved on the UI gets propagated back to my object class sitting on the back end, and then you can do your due diligence to make sure that's then pushed back to your data service. So in that regard, the world is your oyster. Whichever way you want it to know it, you got it, you can do either one.
And then on top of that, you can add the triggers to the actual entries to even do validation, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that code I showed. Exactly. Wow, you're sharp today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. My mom would be so proud.
We're going to have to tell her.
Nice.
So, So what's great about that? Yeah, you can do the triggers and have validation right there on whether you entered in the correct data before you had that data saved and bound. So, again, they've thought of everything. It's Prego. It's in there. Just no worries. You can do all of that. All right. So it came up really quickly. And so you see that I have, you know, Bordeaux, France. These are groupings. So I've passed a sorted data class in, observable collection, slowing down again, that is sorted and grouped based upon the various places. So obviously I was in Atlanta at Evolve 2014. I have done a few stints in England and Scotland, and then I have done a gaming conference in France. And so these are just some of the pictures that are seen here. So if I were to decide to click on one of those images in there, this is where my demo page, my detail page, which is my demo page, obviously, that is just pure code, comes in. And this page is actually using a control called the tab view. So I'm going from a list view, clicking an item, to a tab view. And so I can scroll here, and so that these are actually my real pictures. I try to make sure I wasn't in them, but these are actually my real pictures where I have them stored. Actually, these links are actually coming out from the cloud, and so I had them stored. And these are pictures that I actually took while I was there. And so I can actually have these be rendered and then go back and then have, you know, the sorting done there. And I can have the different types of sorts where it can be smaller. Now, here's one thing I should have done, and I'll definitely clean this up. Instead of looking at the title for one of the shorter displays, there is an option I'll show you where I have it bound to the title, where I could actually have it bound to the key. And so instead of it coming up and saying the full thing and kind of being cut off, it could just say a B or an E, and I could group those as well. But again, that's my option to do so. So that's the app running in Windows Phone. We are here. I'll go ahead and do it, and I'll do it also in the other one. So if I pull that down, it will go out and refresh. Now, I have this sorted. So you typically, if you do a pull to refresh and you do a sort, it will put that on top. So like the Twitter, you get the latest tweets. Well, I wanted mine to not do that, right? So when I do a pull to refresh here, instead of it doing that, it's going to put mine at the end. So you'll see more of these come up. As it's thinking about it, being rushed, it's still doing is busy. So I'll let it do that. While it's thinking, so again, I'm running a lot of stuff. Let me show you the code that actually makes that happen. So let's go back to my PCL. Da, la, la. All right. So I'm going to open up my main page, XAML. Voila, we're in XAML. Let's see what that's doing over there. I don't have my Miami yet. Interesting. Did I break something that fast? That won't be good if I did. Breaking things is never good before a demo.
Well, what happened is I forgot to sacrifice the chicken to the demo gods beforehand. And so this is totally my fault.
Guys,
get me a chicken in here as quick as you can.
I knew it was you.
Yeah, I know. They're going to get the chicken right now.
You know, just a few minutes ago, we're running fine, and now all of a sudden, doesn't like it.
By the way, I want this to be a vegan sacrifice, so get me a vegan chicken.
They're on it. Okay, good.
Let's look at the code.
Let's go to the code. I'll run that again. Maybe it's a fluke. We'll say that once you get the sacrifice in, it'll happen.
Yeah, well, once we get that in, a vegan chicken, everybody.
Yeah, we're no animals.
We don't want any real chickens.
All right, so we have a list view here, and here's some of the great features that I was talking about that has been introduced in 1.4. So, is grouping enabled? And so you see that I have the groups that show the various, these are pictures from Bordeaux, the different items that are associated with it, and those items actually have then another collection underneath that is the picture. So I wanted to group that, so this is just as simple with this new enhanced list view of saying, is grouping enabled? Also, the pull to refresh, which is going to work, I'm just going to claim it is actually enabled here by saying simply true. And then when I enable that, I need to then bind that to a refresh data command.
Got it.
And you know how commands work. It needs to know whether it's safe to execute or not safe to execute. So right here in XAML, I just set that by binding is refreshing to my is busy. And I'll show you the code for that in a second. And then when I'm tapping on the individual items, I obviously then want it to call that tab view and send over. So that's that event. The header. So that the header and the footer is actually new for 1.4. And so if you saw, and I'll run it again, at the top it says life event pictures. I obviously could have customized that with a style. Again, the great styles that you could use. So that could be bigger or look differently. And you'll see it renders differently on different platforms. But all I had to do was set a header for that list view, which is relatively new, just by saying header here in the XAML. And then at the end of that, color right in XAML. This is appropriate, so let me give you the slight caveat, for the list view of the separator lines in iOS and Android. So that property specifically renders in those platforms. And then you'll see here, I am just binding to my item source. And you see I'm binding currently to event sorted groups. I have an all groups there as well. So if I wanted to change that, I could bind to something different, but I wanted my groups to be sorted so that I could have that great grouping. And this is what I was talking about. I have my display binding to a key, which is the title. I could actually change that. So I have, if you notice in my model, I have a key and I actually have a title. I can change my key to be something different, and so that when you see that short name binding, I can literally bind to the group display binding is the event title, so you see the long ones that you see now, and the actual key is something different. So when you have the smaller boxes or interfaces, it does, you know, something that's more appropriate for that size. And this is pretty much it for this page, even though it's doing a lot of heavy lifting. All I'm doing is using the default text cell then that's saying, okay, show me the event title and then give me the description of what that group is for.
Cool.
And looking at the code is always good to look at, right? You will see that all I'm doing here is binding to the context of this page to my view model. I'll show that in a minute. And on appearing, I, again, was playing around here with how I wanted the groups to look. I have two ones, but I want mine to be sorted. And it's already bound in the XAML, so no need to do it here. So commented that out. And then you see on tapped, item tapped, I am just, again, taking the selected item, passing that to that event detail page. And what's special about that, if anything, is that that page is actually not XAML. It is a physical coded page.
Got it.
All right, so that's that. And finally, we'll go to that view model. that should be playing nicely with us, but for some reason it's not. But again, that vegan chicken is going to work next time.
Yeah,
so.
It is.
So you see here, I have, again, I talked about this, the fact that if you want to kind of do some things in code where you switch back and forth with the grouping and not grouping. So here in my code, I provide a grouped view, again, using that great helper that I learned from James. And then I have just an all data view. So you see those in the observable collection. Here is my command for the refresh. So I have a command that says refresh data command. Nothing special here for those of you guys who've used this before. Not a big deal. I say execute data command here. That's the name of my actual function. I'm setting is busy here. If I get past where it's not already executed, it's actually not busy. Let's go ahead and set busy. And then go and add new data to my event groups and then sort that new additional data in the sort group data. And then once I have completed that, is busy is false, so you can hit that refresh again. And then here is my constructor for my view model. And then obviously I'm pulling my fake data service here to get that data. All right, so that is all it took to pull the refresh. So if you've done this manually yourselves, you know this is a godsend. That's all that took to do so. One more thing here, and then I know we're slowly but surely dwindling down on time, but I'll try to, hopefully Android will play nicely for me, so I'll run that as well. The only thing here to note, again, just because you'll see the XAML versus code, and I don't want to say versus, but some people have reasons and rationales for either one. And if you're really interested in that, if you go on the Xamarin site, there is a great breakdown of that from the book, Creating Mobile Applications with C Sharp, that they have on the Xamarin site. Again, it's a free ebook where he breaks that down in much more detail than I can do in the 9 minutes I have left. So,
Four minutes. Yeah. Well,
really dwelling down.
I know, right? This is good stuff.
Oh, wow. That went fast. Okay. So, definitely go check that out. But again, just know this page, the only thing that's special about this page that I'm showing you here is that there is no XAML associated with that page. I actually create this page in code. And so this is my tab page here. So you see that's where the tab where you just scroll. It's a pivot, looks like in Windows 8, and then you'll see the tab view in Android. Well, here's my tab page here. And I just have a template that actually creates that. So I want it to show the font to be a certain size. I'm actually setting binding in code. So bind that to the name, bind that to the image source. And that's how you see that tab view coming up there. And this is all in code, but it's being called from XAML. So again, you choose your battles on that one, but both work just fine. All right, so I'm going to let you ask questions while we hope that Android plays nicely in the box.
Well, for Android to work, we're going to have to sacrifice a whole goat. I mean, this is, it's a little different problem here.
I don't know if that was very nice.
So the question that I have is, what is your opinion? When would you say you should use XAML versus in code? And what is your opinion regarding XAML versus code when laying stuff out?
I'm biased, so you shouldn't ask that question to me.
It's okay.
Biased.
We want your professional opinion. You know what you're doing.
I love XAML. I guess it's, you know, when you grow up with the WPF and Silverlight and things of that nature, XAML is your friend. And I absolutely love XAML.
It feels like it does a really good job at separating out concerns, too.
Because
you could have XAML pages that someone else can edit, right? Because it's XAML, but you can't have a non-coder edit C Sharp.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be a good idea to do that. Yeah, right. So so yes, XAML is my friend. I really love the fact that I can lay things out in XAML. It's very clean. There are some nuances between the Xamarin Forum XAML and the XAML that you may be used to if you're accustomed to WPF or Silverlight or the Windows 8 XAML. So make sure you go and check those nuances out. Like, Did you leave me? Are you there?
No, I'm here. No, we don't have a whole goat, and so there's going to be issues. It's pretty clear.
Your confidence is not there.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be positive.
There is a question out there from Raphael. He says, is the sample code available on GitHub? Hopefully you have a slide where we can all go look at these samples that you built. It's actually pretty cool stuff.
Oh, well, that's easy enough. I'm going to put it out on my GitHub, and I'm sure that Channel 9 will link to that as well, since it's been wonderfully recorded. So, yeah. I will put it out there in a while. Do what you will with it and ignore my comments to myself.
Comments to ourselves are the funnest. Can you bring up like a browser and we can look at what your GitHub handle is? Or maybe you can type it in a text box for those that want to go there right now.
Absolutely. My handle is, I'll just type it. Let's pull up the wonderful slide here and I'll just type it. How about that? Yep. Typing is good, right? It's not out there yet, but it will be there, and that's my GitHub handle.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So is the Android app working?
Let's see. I don't know.
Let's cross our fingers. Yeah, it's still thinking.
It's still thinking. Yeah, you know, Android. It's thinking about it.
Yeah. The thing about the emulator is it's like right now when you start it, it's time to go get a drink, right? After.
Well, here's the thing. I already started it, so you know that's very interesting. You know, okay, the deployed succeeded, so that's a good sign.
Okay,
you have to start these things way ahead of time. Trust me, I started it an hour ago.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Last night before you went to bed, you set your alarm and then started the Android emulator. I mean,
that's exactly what I did. So you know, who knows? Let's say it says deployed succeeded, and it's now copying to device.
Okay, it's doing stuff.
I know we're out. Yeah, it's doing stuff. We're out of time, but. Hopefully, we'll just let it think in the background while we have any more questions are asked of me. So,
in your experience with the Xamarin Forms, I've heard a question of performance. Do you notice any lag or issues with that kind of thing when it comes to Xamarin Forms?
Well, it really depends on, and again, it goes back to my, I guess, caveat slide of how much intensity or UI intensiveness are you putting into what you're doing? So you can see, I think, a little bit of it possibly, but I haven't really seen it. But again, maybe I'm not doing anything that's so devastating that I've seen any issues as of yet. I would love for people who have definitely had issues to tweet away so we can talk about it, you know. But I will say the Xamarin 1.4 has definitely enhanced performance in a lot of different things. So.
All right, well, let's let you full screen so that we can say goodbye to everybody. Thanks so much, Tara, for showing us a little bit about Xamarin Forms. We're going to take a little break until the next session, and we'll see you in a little bit.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.